Hello and welcome to Mission Darts Podcast, episode 54. And I'm glad to say, Matt, you're back in your studio, which means no technical glitches, no Andy trying to record and it all going tits up, for want of a better word, in the middle. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to be here all episode and it's all going to be fine.
Fingers crossed indeed, but you just never know, do you? You never know. Like, technology these days and different bits going wrong, we always find a way to get something wrong with it. I'm sure we'll manage again. However, I'm going to be here right now to prove a lot of people wrong, including yourself, Andy.
Okay.
Because as you may notice, I am sat on a reclining, massaging light-up chair.
Well, Gordon's been on. Gordon has said, what's harder, a 147 break, a hole in one, a nine darter, or Matt getting his new chair out? Have you done it? Is it out? Is it built?
Sat on it.
Please show me the lights. I want to see the lights. Are the lights
on? I've got to plug it in. I can plug it in, but yeah, I haven't.
Is it like
it
rechargeable, or does it have to be plugged in all the time?
No, it's got to be plugged. That's the only downside. Like, so what I'm thinking about doing is getting a, you know, those power banks.
Oh yeah.
Get a power bank, and there's a pocket in the back. Put the power bank in there, and then just run it off the power bank.
Yeah,
that'll be the best thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, especially when the weather gets a bit darker, we're going to need to see the full ambience. You know, we want the full Edgar ambience. We want the chair. We want the LEDs in the wall. We want everything, the whole lot, the whole shebang. So, let's get that sorted. Let's get that sorted indeed. A few people were responding to last week's Andy's rant, Andy's holiday rant, going, yeah, agree with that, agree with that. And, quite a few responding to that. But I'm still on holiday. I know you kind of think this holiday is never going to end. It's an August thing for me every year. I take all my holidays all at once for some holidays. Those of you that have got kids that are at home at the moment, driving you mad, will know why.
Okay, well, let's start flying then. One thing we're doing, I don't know why I'm swallowing so much. One thing we're going to be doing, in October, we are getting the Mission Dart players in. And we are going to be doing some filming with them, which is going to be released over November, December, January, February, where you're going to be seeing the Mission Darts players taking part in challenges, little games, lots of fun content. So you're going to get to see the players in a different light, but also get to see, hopefully, some real moments of skill. One of the games I want to play with them is one where we're going to sort of get to feel a little bit of vibe from a little bit more. And what this is going to be is this is going to be a bit like the Penn and Teller's Fool Us, but without the magic. So this is Matt and Andy are going to be sat at the table. A mission player is going to come in. They are going to tell us a story and we have to decide if it's true or false. And can they fool us with their story? And we can ask questions. So let's have a go at this. Let's have a go. You can ask as many questions as you want, right? I'm going to give you a story and then you can ask me questions and I will give you the thing. And then you've got to work out if it's true or false based on it. So you can interrogate. And then I'm going to do it to you. So think of a story. Okay.
I love this. I love how you just come up with stuff there like this, man.
Okay. So the story is, I was going through a period of weight loss and as I was doing it, I was losing it. And what I didn't accommodate for was the changing of the size of clothes. And I went swimming in Blackpool and I went down a water slide. And because my shorts was too big, they came off. And I stood there fully in the nudder in the summer holidays.
I mean, that just sounds so true, man. That just sounds just like you, to be honest. Because you wouldn't have gone and thought, oh, maybe I'll go and buy a smaller pair. You would have just gone, these will do. I'll just tie them a bit tighter. So it's absolutely got to be a true story. It's got to be a true story.
Okay, so normally how this works, you get the opportunity to ask questions, but Andy's just forfeiting the right to ask questions.
Yeah,
and he's just going straight in with true.
Yeah.
That is a true story, yeah.
Yeah. I've been knowing you for a couple of years now. That just had to be true. There was no way. There was no way you were going and buying another pair because then you'd have two pairs of shorts. And who needs two pairs of shorts in different sizes? You know, there's absolutely no way, is it? There's absolutely no way.
Okay, okay. Well, that maybe that one didn't work out too well because you called that one pretty quickly. So, let me think of another one. Let me think of a darting one. Okay. Here's one for you then. I was playing county for Warwickshire, and about a game before I went on, I thought I need the toilet. So I went to the toilet, but the game before me went a lot quicker, and I was on the toilet a lot longer than I expected. So I was called to the stage, the music was playing, but I was still sat pants around the ankles on the toilet.
Isn't this very similar to last week's story? Matt's World Pugh Championship story. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say that's false.
That's true as well.
Because you're quite a well prepared guy, and you know. So that surprised me that one's true as well. Is it right? Okay. Let me see if I can think of a PDC story then. PDC story. Right. Okay. Yeah. PDC. So in a pro tour, I was playing John Bowles. I went on to beat him, and during the game, I missed double 12 for a 9 darter, which at the time it used to go up £1,000. I think every pro tour it was for £5,000. Is that true or false?
I think the only time the prize fund ever got so big was the time Dave Askew hit it, and it was shared. Dave Askew hit one on the weekend, but you had to do it on the weekend. But then two other people hit it on the same weekend, so three people shared it, and it was quite a sizable prize. So what year was that?
So that would have been 2000 and... I want to say 2013, I think.
Okay, that sounds too late.
It was at Wigan.
That sounds quite late in the story. I think the 500. I think it was a lot smaller then. Maybe the rollover was a lot smaller than £1,000.
I think it might have been 500, but
I think there's elements to the story that aren't correct here. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you didn't miss the chance to do it. So I think there's possibly an element that there is truth to this, but I think you've maybe told the story a little bit wrong. So I'm going to go false.
It is false because I didn't get to the double 12. I missed the treble 19. I missed dart 8.
See, and this is a great game.
Yeah.
And we're going to play this with the mission players.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. That'll be really fun.
Maybe what we should do to get people ready for this coming on the main channel is every week we should have a round of this. We should have a round of this every week just to sort of get people ready and in the flavour for Penn and Teller's Foolers, but without the magic and without Penn and Teller.
Well, let me get you in the mood, Matt, because look at this. I've got pages of questions and things for you this week.
You normally do a great job of getting me in the mood, to be fair.
I do. Yeah, I do. I think I've got a couple of statements, so these don't require. So let me do those first. They're just things that needed reading out. This is Ivan Fletcher, because he's referring to things that get on your nerves. Remember, we did that last week, and he's saying, what gets on my nerves is people playing music and video calls on their phones on loudspeaker. Oh, my God. What is it with people walking down the street with their phone on loudspeaker? Why can't you put it to your ear? Yeah. What's that all about, Matt? So I love that. And then Gordon has said, this is funny. So Gordon 3139 has said, he's talking about the dog in the pushchair. Remember you said, so he said, sometimes on my way to work, I see a bloke with a dog in a pushchair, but it's actually a dog pushchair, and the name on the side is Dogger. So he says he's pushing it along, and the brand says Dogger.
Okay, so as you know, I'm from Rossington, South Yorkshire, near Doncaster. That's my home place. I relocated to Daventry. We call Dogger dog poo in Rossington.
Oh.
That's what Dogger is. So to me, him pushing a dog round in Dogger means
it's quite funny.
Yeah, I picture him as he's rolling him in dog poo. So,
yeah.
Does anyone else use the term dogger? Comments, guys, comments.
Well, yeah, but up this way, it's for a different reason.
Is that what you go do on a Friday night?
Yeah, we won't talk any more about that. Right, let me get into the questions for you. I've got some good ones, Matt. For some reason, my chair's doing that thing. Look, I'm just going down and down.
You need to get yourself one of these, Andy.
I do need a new chair with LEDs on it, yeah. Right, St. Paulus 101. How many, this is definitely for you, how many left-handers in darts, BDO or PDC, have hit a nine darter?
On TV?
He doesn't say on TV. He just says have hit a nine darter.
There'll be loads then if it's just hit a nine darter.
Yeah. Okay. So let's shall we say in a tournament? Shall we say in a sanctioned tournament? Because I could only think of James Wade. I could think of a few left. I don't remember Mark Webster doing one. Did Martin Phillips do
one? Martin Phillips did one.
That's a good shout. That's a really good shout, Matt. Mark Webster ever do one? I don't think so.
I know he missed the double 12 at the Players Championship finals when it was at Doncaster.
Who's the favorite? Les Wallace, world champion, but I don't remember him hitting a nine darter. Who's the other famous left-handers on the pro tour now? I'm trying to think who's the. It's weird, isn't it?
I mean, there's loads of left-handers that are a bit pro tour nine darts. I think Neil Zonneveld hit one, didn't he, not too long ago. He's a
right. Left-hander. Okay.
So if we're just talking pro tours, there'll be loads. Like there'll be endless.
But if we're talking TV, just James Wade. Got to be. Can't be anybody else. That's fine. Get in the comments, guys. If we're wrong, if we've missed somebody. If we've missed another left-hander that's hit a nine darter, please get in the comments because there must be quite a few.
Hmm.
And then, weirdly, if I'm right, there's another question. Yeah, there is. There's another question about left-handers. Two in a week. So, 127 and Game has said, topic for discussion, please. Left-handed players retrieving their darts right-handed and turning towards the hockey. I find this very frustrating and off-putting. As a right-handed player, I've been to venues where you have to walk left, but I don't take my darts out then left-handed and turn clockwise. I just take them out right-handed and move on. And what he said is, James Wade doesn't do it. He doesn't do that. He takes them out with his left hand and off he walks. He doesn't take them out right-handed and then do a 360. So I understand what he's saying here. I have seen this done. Why? Why not just, like, why? Why would they do that? Why take them out with the other hand?
It's something, as someone who analyzes and thinks about everything within this sport, I've never really thought about.
and so I've actually written on the bottom of here, Matt, in that case, should left-handers be allowed to exit left?
No.
Why? Can't. Why is it?
The cameras are left. You block the cameras.
Ah, okay.
The left's a no-go zone. That whole left-hand side of the fence is a no-go zone. Yeah, you cannot go that side because
you
think about the camera that's facing the player. So you can see the player throw, you go left, you block that camera. And then as you're coming round, the camera that's facing at the board shoots over the left. So you'll block the board cam. So you'll literally get a warning if you start going that way. You cannot exit left.
So interestingly then, so now, weirdly now, I'm thinking about it and I'm thinking about James Wade throwing. And I'm thinking when you see the side camera, you see his back. You don't see his front. You see his back, obviously, because he's left-handed. So should left-handed players be allowed logos on their back?
They are, yeah. Everyone is now.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't remember seeing any. They've normally just got their name, haven't they?
By the neck. Just under the collar.
Oh, okay, but they couldn't have it where it says the machine or whatever. They couldn't have it across there. No, you couldn't have... No.
No. It's just an extra location at the back on the top there.
I wonder if it's something that brands consider when they're considering a left-handed player. You're not going to get as much exposure on TV because your back's going to be facing the camera.
You should do. Absolutely, yeah.
We can't answer your question because we don't really know why they would do that. So there's a question for you. Which hand do you take your darts out with?
I think everyone throws right, collects left.
Yeah. Yeah, I collect left as well.
Yeah. I think most people do. I can't think of many people that don't.
There we go. We've got a question that we couldn't really answer. But we can definitely answer this one. Oof, God, this has touched a nerve with me. Hi, this is Joseph Hindley. Hi, Andy and Matt. I have a question. How often should you change your points? I find myself going through a set of points every 6 weeks. What's he doing with them? Every 6 weeks, I play on average an hour a day. Every 6 weeks, he needs some new points. Cheers, Joe. Well, Joe, are you playing on a concrete floor? Are they bouncing out and blunting on the floor? Or I can honestly say I've got the points in my dart and they've been in there over a year, maybe 2 years. Same.
I've never changed a set of points. Never. I think anytime I think my points are running down a bit, I just get a new set of darts.
Yeah, you just get a new set. Yeah, because the chances are by the time they've run down, the grip's wearing off your dart, isn't it? It's that long.
So yeah, if I ever need a new point, I just get a new set of darts. Yeah, I don't tinker with it. Yeah. What I hate, you've got to think. I mean, again, this may just be my lack of understanding. A lot of the times, like, you can see something, and because you don't quite understand it, you can't quite do it. And this is where I'm very open. If I don't understand something, I'll just say, I don't understand it. Now, if I was to change my points, my mind tells me that that hole has been made for that point. So if I take it out and put another one in, and take it out and put another one in, the chances are all I'm going to be doing is wearing and tearing on that hole. And you hear people go, yeah, I've got to put a bit of glue in it. I don't want to glue my points in. No. I don't want to glue them in. I would fear all the time of the point coming out during a game. So yeah. Because of that, I just don't tinker with it. And all I do is when I run them low or when I want to change them, I just get rid and get a new set.
So people are going to be jumping in the comments now, Matt, going, yeah, but my points screw in. I've got a certain brand, or I've got Caliburn and Mission points, and mine just unscrew. So I can just unscrew them and put a new set in whenever I want. So therefore, I don't need to use glue and everything else. They know full well. Everybody on this channel knows full well by now. I don't agree with taking points out. I really don't. And it, you know, if my boss could hear me now, he'd be like, what? We sell millions of points. Yeah, great. We do. You know,
or they'll be in the comments going, where can I get some of those Matthew Zedga darts then? That he's probably got a lot of them somewhere because, like,
available in 21, 23, and 25.
Actually, not in 25. My Matthews ones are only in 21 and 23 because I've not used the 25s in match.
So
I've only got 21s and 23s. So,
how's the practice going for Modus?
Or is it not? They haven't started yet.
Of course, it hasn't. Of course, it hasn't started, Matt. But I tell you what's
it will.
I tell you what's continued: a certain person winning.
Yeah.
If it could be the sea, we could be in the sea, Matt, fully clothed in bra and knickers. In
someone else, someone else has said they'll do it as well. So, just to put this out here, guys. Right, just to put this out there, we are now going to open the forum. Someone else has said they will join us. It'll be in Blackpool in January, in the sea, in bra and pants. If you think Luke Littler isn't going to go and win every single title now for the rest of the year, speak now in the comment section, and we'll all be in the sea in our bra and pants with Mission Darts podcast signs.
Yeah, we will. We will. Yeah, he wins again. Just a little 115 average, Matt. 8-4 win. Do you do that often? 115, man. You know. Yeah, he's a bit special, that boy. He's a bit special. It's becoming a bit easy. It's becoming a bit easy. I hate to say it. Is he becoming the next Phil Taylor? He keeps playing like that.
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes, he is in regards to he's hitting a level that other people haven't. No, in the fact that I don't believe this is sustainable. I don't. I think it's something that can happen on, but I don't think it's sustainable. I would love to be proven wrong, but there's no evidence to suggest any time in the history of darts that this level is sustainable. So that's one concern I'll have with that. The other thing is I don't think Luke will be, and I mentioned this before, I don't think he'll be around that long. I think he's going to be very, very short-lived. I think he's going to win a lot of things very quickly. And he's not someone who's going to retire dropping down the rankings. The chances are he's someone who's going to retire as the world number one.
So when do you see, if you've got your crystal ball now, he's, has he turned 19? No, I think he's still 18, isn't he? He's 18 years of age.
That's like February, his birthday.
What age does he retire and walk away from the sport?
Mid-20s.
So 6-7 years from now, something like that. By which time he will have amassed a small fortune, let's be honest. There's no, I mean, he probably has already, but so the money's not going to be an issue. But do you think it's going to be this stamina, or do you think he's going to get bored, or what's your feeling? You know, why do you think he'll be gone?
Because he'll transcend the sport. The sport isn't big enough right now to hold him, and he will become too big of a name where there'll be lots of great opportunities outside of the sport that the sport can't offer him. The sport's not ready for Luke Littler. It's fact. You know, when you think about things like external media, extra content, bonus content, things like what we're doing here on a podcast. We do the podcast, we get a couple of thousand listeners a week. We've got our YouTube channel, we've got about 25,000, and we're like, that's brilliant, we've got 25,000 subscribers. When you look at other industries like football, like wrestling, like, you know, anyone sets up a football podcast with a couple of ex-pros, and there'll be hundreds of thousands of listeners. The market, the audience is so much bigger. Darts' audience is tiny in comparison to the reality of real world mainstream entertainment. And the other thing is, yes, ticket sales are up, but I'll go back to a lot of things. The people that are buying the tickets don't know what they're watching. They don't know who they're watching. They could literally go to the arena and have Josh Rock, Joe Cullen, someone of that sort of stature, sit next to them, and they wouldn't know.
That's a really good point. Yes, a really good point. They're not superstars. Even though they're, to us, in our sport, they're superstars. He is. But in the world, you're absolutely right. If Josh Rock or Joe Cullen or, you know, went and sat next to somebody in a cafe, they're not going, oh, have you seen over who's over there, mate? Joe Cullen's over there. But if somebody, if Andy Murray goes and sits there, everybody knows that's Andy Murray. If Ronaldo goes and sits, everybody knows it's Ronaldo. So, that's really interesting.
So, when we came back from COVID, I might have told this story on here before, I don't know, but I'm going to tell it again anyway. When we came back from COVID, I got employed by Sky Sports to do a fan feature where I went around the fans' village with a microphone and interviewed fans. And what we had to do is I had to basically ask them a series of questions, which was like three questions about the darts and the Premier League, which is what they was there to watch. They was there to watch the Premier League. It's a Premier League night. And they came to watch the Premier League. And I had to ask people three questions. They had to answer them. If they answered them right, they got free tickets to the Masters. Ask the question. Know nothing about darts, mate. Next person. Ask the question. And the question was, name the reigning Premier League champion. Don't know. Not a clue. They're watching the Premier League. They didn't know the reigning champion. And this was like the way through, to the point where we didn't have enough people to shoot footage with. So I would go, can you name us the reigning defending Premier League champion? It's Michael van Gerwen. Pass on the thing. Michael van Gerwen. And they went, way! Because we couldn't find people that could answer these three basic questions.
Wow.
So I had to feed them the answers because we couldn't get the footage.
That's interesting. That's really now you've jumped on something here. They're going for a night out, aren't they? They're going for a night out.
Yeah.
Nobody's paying to go and watch the Open Golf if they're not a golfer or they're not into golf. You're not just turning up and wandering around going, what's he doing, whacking that ball? You know, you're there because you're passionate about golf. You play golf yourself, whatever. Nobody's going to Wimbledon going, I'm just here for the strawberries. Yeah, I don't know. What are they doing with that racket over there? You know what I mean? They're there because they're passionate about tennis. You're absolutely right. There's lots of people. And I've had people, and you will have had hundreds of people, come to you and say, I had the best night at the darts. Oh, my God. It was a who won? I haven't a clue. I had the best night, though. Oh, right. Yeah, but who was playing? Oh, I've no idea, but I had the best night ever.
But they know Luke Littler.
But they know Luke Littler. They back know to your Luke original point. Yeah,
and because he's that big. Yeah, and for that reason, he will transcend the sport.
So why... What is the Littler? They're calling it the Littler effect, aren't they? And it's obviously affect the industry and the amount of new kids that are playing darts, which is fantastic and love that. Great for growth of the sport. Where has this? Is it because he was 17 in the World Championship? Is it because he's just unbelievably good? Is it something else? Why him?
Well, a couple of things. Well, I think the main one is in a world where every story feels like it's been told, this is a story that hasn't been told. Young teenager comes out of school, doesn't really have many qualifications, takes the world of darts and dominates what is meant to be an undominatable sport. Yeah. And it's a story. That's what it is. Like I said to you before, two people throwing 100 average against each other is only fun for a short period of time. Then you need story. You need the reason behind it. That's why movies are so great. Is Rocky versus Ivan Drago a very good end to Rocky IV if you just put them in the ring and go, let's have a really good fight. Let's have a real quality match. No, it's because the story. It's because he kills Apollo Creed. It's because he has to go and fight on Christmas Day. It's because he has to go out there and you're watching him train and you're watching him put himself through staying in this wood cabin where he's training like to try and take on Drago. He knows he's not as good as him, and he's trying to get himself to that level. But as he gets himself to that level, you also see Drago's level going up. And Drago, who killed Apollo Creed with a punch, is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. You think, well, he killed Apollo Creed with that punch, and now he's twice as strong to fight Rocky. He's got no chance. He's going to get killed. And it builds it up to the point where you go, I'm invested in this match. But if you just watch the boxing match, it's not fun.
Yeah.
And this is the story. This is what Luke Littler's providing. He's providing story. He's providing inspiration. He's providing hope. Because the one thing about darts that isn't in any other sport is it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what the sponsors think. It doesn't matter what the broadcaster, the manager, the CEO, anyone's opinion does not matter. It all matters what you do on the dartboard.
Yeah.
You need no approval. You don't need to be booked for the show. You don't need to be booked for pay-per-view. You don't need to be selected for the team. If you're good enough, you're good enough. Doesn't matter whether you're 5 stone, 50 stone, 92-year-old or 7.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. And I actually think to a point it's quite entertaining. I think the fact that he goes for different outshots, the fact that he does things differently, the fact that when he hits a 170, he's doing a bit of reeling in and just making it entertaining as well is almost, it's just a gift that keeps on giving. But I've got a question for you then. Bo Greaves is going to play in the World Championship this year, we're pretty sure. She goes and wins it. Is that a bigger story?
I don't think the stories are measurable, but I think they're similar. I think they're on the same sort of magnitude, but I don't think that they are...
Does ladies' darts explode? Do you know what? Suddenly,
I'm going to say something here that is going to be awful, but it's so, so true. I think the day ladies' darts explodes is when we get a 24-year-old Swedish with blonde hair, well-stacked, because blokes are fickle. And when you think about sport, name me, I mean, I don't know if you watch women's football, but name me a women's football if you can, just out of interest.
I can't. I don't watch, I very rarely watch men's football, so I certainly
okay.
don't.
I thought you'd be the wrong person to ask. But yeah. Most people you ask that question to, name me a woman's footballer, they'll say Alicia Lehmann.
Okay.
Why?
No idea of those.
Why do they say Alicia Lehmann? Google her. You'll see why people say. Oh,
okay. Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay.
I think everybody who talks about football, and I think that the and do you know what? I don't even think whoever this person is needs to be that good. They just need to be reasonable.
Right.
And it sounds so fickle and so shallow and so anti-2025. However, yeah. what that will appeal to is your teenage audience, essentially.
Yeah, but we can switch this both ways, Matt, because it's not that long ago we were talking about the German referee. I can't think of his name. You know him. That was getting loads of press. You know what I mean? And the press was this German referee, and by the way, he's a bit of a looker, which he is, good-looking young man. So, you know, if that got extra eyes on the sport for the same reason... I've got no issue with that whatsoever. Anything. Look, Maria Sharapova, everybody knows who she was, an attractive tennis player. If that got more eyes on the sport, yes, it's very shallow, but it doesn't matter how the eyes are on the sport.
Emma Patton. Never see an article about Emma Patton in any media article or any newspaper that doesn't start with darts stunner.
Yeah.
It's always got to include the looks. It's always got to include that. That's what I mean. Like, I just think for that, for darts, we need to, for that fickle audience, shall we say.
Yeah, but, and that could work both ways. Have we yet had a super stud male darts player? You know, a Jack Grealish. All right, Matt. You weren't on TV long enough. A Jack Grealish of the darts world that women can put up, have pinned up in their office. You know,
that right there is what I mean. Because I guarantee, right, if we found that player, right, whoever it is, let's call her Kelly. If we find Kelly, who's this stunning blonde girl who's reasonable at darts, I guarantee she will probably be our best dart seller because people will buy her darts. She will outsell people who outtell her ability by a long way. Yeah. We would have come up with new options. We'd probably have her in a calendar. We'd probably have her doing different things because, you know, we don't want the Andy Cornwall calendar. No one's going to buy it. But put this woman on, and she would sell.
I was saying it from a male perspective. From a male perspective as well. I'm not sure you want, as a female, I'm not sure you want a Luke Littler calendar. Or a Phil Taylor calendar. But if Jack Grealish was playing darts, you might want him on a calendar. Do you know what I mean? Who did? He's probably the only one capable of taking his top off and looking all right, let's be honest. You know, I mean, probably has got a six pack, even though it's drawn on his shirt, it's probably a real one underneath. So, yeah, I think it'd be very interesting. There's so many different ways. I hope you're not coming back with your Jack Grealish calendar now. Oh, I thought you were going to. Oh, a can of pop. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the Worlds. We've talked already about the qualifying criteria. There's going to be lots of people there that perhaps weren't there before. Let's see what happens. Right, I've got another question for you. This has come by email. Please do keep putting your questions and your comments in because we read them all, guys. So please do. Stephen Selterich has said, this is one for you. I've just finished watching Modus Super Series number 11 finals with our boy from Canada winning it, which I presume was Jeff Smith.
Jeff Smith.
I haven't seen it, but good guess, Andy. Right. Okay. The next line he made. You can tell I haven't read it. The next line. I find it hard to believe Jeff is the first North American to win. Mike, Oh, incidentally, the person who I beat to get my card. But anyway, we digress. I don't often get a chance to talk about myself in the darts world. My question is, I'm wondering why Jeff is the first person from Canada and USA to win. I believe the quality of players coming from North America is improving. So why is there a lack of winners? Is it the competition? Is it the time of year? Is it travel restrictions? Is it the volume of players? What do you think is the reason why not North America have not won more times? And I guess you can open this up not just to the Modas, but to all of darts.
It's just one of those things, isn't it? You know, everyone who goes to the Pro Tour is the best in their area. We've got the 128 players. You've got the best from France, the best from Spain, the best from Belgium. Someone's got to give, you know, so there's only going to be so many. There's only one person gets a winner slot. And something like the Super Series, I like to think of it as a filtering. So it's not a competition until the last day, because you've got your Group A that filters into Group B and Group C that filters into that finals night that filters back into Group A. So it filters. So you've got to be consistent and good for a long, long period of time, and it's quality opposition. So I think getting one winner out of 11 series, I think, is a very good achievement, especially when you think Jacob Taylor was a runner-up as well in Series 3. So you've had two finalists in 11 series. I think that's incredible.
Well, let's open that up to PDC then, Matt. Why have we never had a North American or American Canadian champion in the PDC? We've seen players coming through, and I'm not going with the whole, oh, it's a long way away. I'm not standing for that, because we've had Damon Etter and Simon Whitlock. That's a lot further away. You're looking at me strange.
Are we just going to ignore the three-time champion of the world, John Part, then?
Yes, I've just ignored him. Sorry, John. I just ignored him right there. Yeah, okay. Right, let me rephrase that. Rewind. Why have we not had more players from Canada or North America?
Again, I will go with the fact of, I think, three world championship wins in...
But only one player.
Yeah, but still, how many world championships has there been in history? And you've got three of them.
Yeah, but I would, let's say he was, for want of a better phrase, let's say he was Danish. I think the next year, the darts would explode there, and you'd see this new crop of talent coming through because of that. Why has that not happened? We've got your Jeff Smith from Canada. We've got Matt Campbell. Is he Canadian? Matt Campbell, but never really. He's not really made it. When somebody from wins, I'm trying to think. There was there's another sport. I don't know whether it's tennis or golf or something, where somebody won from a country that was so not expected. Next minute, that country exploded in that sport because everybody was like, he's my hero. You know, I mean, you could say the same in the about when Raymond van Barneveld came along. The very few Dutch players then.
How many Dutch players play cricket? How many Dutch players play soft tip darts? Your audience is diluted in America and Canada because they prefer cricket and sports. Soft tips. Yeah, the variations of the sport. What I've heard them call it a lot of the time is 0-1. And how many people play 0-1 over there? It's a small audience.
What's 0-1?
Like 5-0-1.
Oh.
That's what we know traditional darts as. That's what they call 0-1.
Oh, okay. Okay, so there's not enough playing it.
It's diluted. Like, I'm looking at going to America in October because I really want to play a cricket tournament. I want to play in the proper cricket tournament. And I'm looking at going in October, and there's one tournament of 501. Everything else is cricket.
Right. It'll be soft tip, won't it?
No, you can play it on steel tip. But it's
steel tip cricket, yeah. Right?
Okay. But it's cricket singles, cricket doubles, cricket mix, cricket this, cricket. It's all different for those regions. And we've only got one 501 tournament over the whole weekend.
Yeah, maybe you're answering the question there. Maybe, yeah. Yeah, I guess you could say, why have we not got any players in the top 32 from Asia? Well, because they play soft tip.
And so yeah, then you get the players travel as well.
They're playing a variation of the sport, but a different variation. So, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. If they're still playing lots of cricket over there, I know there's still quite a lot of soft up in America. There's probably just not enough people and probably not enough competition, Matt. Because if you're the number one guy in Texas and the next guy at number one is in Philadelphia, you ain't nipping around his house for some practice. You know, it's quite a big country. Whereas if you and I were mates and wanted, were both playing professional darts, well, we could meet in the middle an hour away and have a practice. So maybe the distance as well could be holding them back.
Speaking of Super Series, someone in the comments section said, when am I playing the Super Series? Because they'd love to book some tickets to come down for the Saturday night. Because you can come down on Saturday night, you can watch the finals night and everything. So first of all, I like the optimism that I'm going to be there on the finals night. The next thing is the venue only can hold 96 tickets. So on a Saturday night, we don't open up the balcony other than Champions Week. It's only the arena floor, and we are only allowed 96 people in there. I would love to have the room full with people there, either in Edgar shirts or coming to support, singing some Edgar songs, you know. So if you are listening and you haven't been to the Super Series yet and you're thinking about that, you'd like to go, I will be playing on Thursday and Friday, the 23rd and 24th of October. And the finals night is Saturday, the 25th of October. If you are about on Saturday, 25th of October, I would love it if you came down. We can obviously hopefully win the night. We can go to Spoons afterwards. We can have a few bevvies. Spoons is literally just over the road. It's open till about 12, 1 o'clock. So we can go in there, have a few bevvies and things and make a bit of a night of it. Meet some of you guys who listen to the podcast on a regular basis. So hopefully you can get there, guys, and we'll make a bit of a night of it. We'll win the Super Series and then we'll have a bit of a night together and get to put a few faces to some titles and names.
Fantastic, Matt. I can't say fairer than that. And you, at the very start, you mentioned the filming that we're doing with the players. Hmm. So if you're wondering if Matt will have been practicing hard that week, no, because he will be filming the players. I've just looked at my diary. The Monday and the Tuesday of that week is the filming, and you play Modus on the Thursday. Yeah. So in typical Edgar fashion.
And the week before, we've also got a mission filming down on the 15th and the 16th. And the week before, I'm commentating. So,
yeah.
But I will find time to get ready. I don't traditionally need a lot, and I don't want to push it too much. Hmm. Like, because right now, I am very healthy. Very, very healthy. I have got no excuse at the moment in regards to my arm, my wrist. It's all looking good. So, what I want to do is make sure that I don't push it too much to the point it does become a problem. So, it's going to be carefully maintained. When I'm doing the commentary is 2 weeks before. That's at the Super Series. And when we do Thursday, Friday sessions, I've got about a 4-hour gap in between. Now, because I will be in the building, I'm going to use my privilege of being able to get on the stage. And I'm going to practice on the stage for a few hours that week as well. So I'll get a little bit of extra time in there as well. I know the group I've got. I've seen the players. I'm probably not even allowed to say that I'm playing them weeks. But I think I've got a good chance. I think I've got a good chance. So 25th of October, dartshop.tv to get your tickets. I think there are fiver to get them. Like I said, we can only have 96 people in there. I would love it if I could have the majority of the 96 people coming down. So if you are thinking about coming down, get them booked. Hopefully we get them through to the Saturday night and we'll make a night of it. We'll take down the title and we'll go to Spoons. And if it's really good, if we do take down the title and we're in a great mood, after Spoons, we'll go to Pop World.
And have a few VK Blues or whatever.
Tragedy. Tragedy. Yeah. Be a great night.
If you win the week at Modus, I might do karaoke on this podcast.
I'll be ready for it. Don't you worry. I'll be ready.
We shall see. We shall see. We'll see what happens, Matt. Obviously, we wish you luck and hope it goes well. It's not easy. It's not easy. You're going to be playing against players that are probably putting in 4 or 5 hours a day. So, it's not going to be easy, but we know you'll give it your all. We know you won't be scared. Which shirt you wearing? That's the question. You're in your Mission Edgar shirt. We've not seen that for a while.
I'm wearing that one day. But okay. Also, people will know that I wore this shirt right here. Shawn Michaels inspired shirt at Lakeside. I had a different shirt for round two that I've never worn. I might wear it at Modus.
Okay.
A shirt that's never been worn before.
It's not in the frames.
It was round two shirt, and I never got that far. So
why don't you wear that if you get to the finals, something like that? Or
I would like my main shirt for finals night. But yeah, I'd like my main shirt for finals night, but I might wear it on the Friday.
Cool.
Or I might wear it on day one.
Not that long away now. About 8 weeks. Something like that. Yep. It's not very long.
I'll practicing soon.
I've played
for nearly a year by the time it comes round.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy.
And I still think I'm going to win it.
Yeah, well, you can't beat confidence, can you? Any of those listening, the guys listening, just be confident. Just be confident. You can do anything. You can do anything if you put your mind to it.
There's that expression, isn't there? Like, confident bull beep. It's a thing, isn't it? Like, if you portray something with confidence, then you can sort of get yourself out of anything, sort of thing.
I don't know. It sounds like you're making it up now.
Yeah, I'm getting it so wrong. Someone will know it. It's an expression, but I haven't quite got it nailed down.
Okay. Right. I'm just going to test you because it's time that I did. I haven't done this for ages. So, everybody says that when I quiz you, the questions are far too easy for you. So I'm now going to be far more specific, and I'm going to ask you, I want you to tell me what ranking Michael Smith now is. What's his current world ranking?
23.
Oh, it's 21. Yeah, that's not bad. That's
21?
He's 21.
Are you sure?
I'm looking at it.
What are you looking at?
As of August the 1st on the darts rankings.
How's he gone to 21? Has he gone up recently?
No, it's stayed the same. The one that's gone up is Jermaine Watamina. Where is he now?
25.
26. That's really good. That was a really good. And then where is Dirk van Dijsselbloem?
31.
He's 32. So you are pretty good at this. I think that's... I don't understand that. He must have been defending something big recently because I don't understand how he's gone down to 32.
He's just not had a deep run, has he? In recent times, it was not long ago he had that big shoulder problem, didn't he? It looked like he was done.
He did. And interestingly, we were talking about Canadian players. Matt Campbell, where do you think he is now?
Matt Campbell, about 45.
He's 53. So he's going to have to be careful. He's going to have to be very, very careful. We have a new signing who's ranked 60th. Do you know who that is?
Has it been announced? Am I allowed to?
It's been announced. He's left-handed, isn't he?
Oh, right, that one, yeah. Yeah. I thought he was talking about the other one. I'm like, I hadn't seen this announcement yet.
Yeah, Ryan Meikle.
Yeah, our new signing. Yeah, the only new signing we've got so far.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just him, just Ryan Meikle. There's no one else.
Yeah. No, there's no one else.
Good job I didn't.
it is really. Yeah. Maybe I should change this subject really quick before Matt.
Well, you should brief me.
We never do briefing, Matt. We never do briefing. I'm just delighted that the video hasn't crashed or I haven't gone lost this week. So, big question for you then. We know we're jumping in the sea in bra and pants if Luke Littler wins everything, because we know he's not going to. Will Luke Littler, by January 1st, be world number one?
It's inevitable.
Why? He's still 300,000 behind Humphreys.
Who's defending about a million.
Is it?
While Littler's defending nothing.
So he's definitely, it's 100%, is it? He has to be.
He's defending the Grand Prix, the Slam, and the Players' Championship Finals.
Oh, wow.
And Littler's defending nothing.
But he could win the Worlds, which is £1 million.
Yeah, and Humphreys defending half a mil at the Worlds. Littler's defending 200k. Okay. So there's that 300 grand swings at the World Championships.
Yeah, nothing then, is it?
It's inevitable. The only way Humphreys holds that position is if he wins virtually every title.
Yeah.
And that's probably why his form's starting to drop at the minute, because he's ready for the big drops that are coming off.
Yeah, and those two are so far ahead of MVG in third, it's ridiculous. I mean, they're more than double what he's on.
So I don't like what I'm hearing about MVG's return at the moment and where he is within himself. I think my concern, you said he's going to come back better, and I said I don't think he does. I think from what I'm hearing, there's a strong chance I'm more right than you are on that one.
Well, I think it's a bit early because he's going through a divorce. I was kind of thinking when all that's settled and done and he's moved on and 12 months' time, I'm not...
Who's to say him moving on isn't him moving on?
Oh, it could be. Yeah, he could be done. He could be done. I don't know. Right, another... I'm for some reason, I'm in the big prediction mode today. James Wade is currently fifth in the world. He could potentially, he's only 9 grand behind Bunting, so he could go fourth. Will he be in the 2026 Premier League lineup?
Has to be.
He doesn't have to be. It's 4 plus 4 picks, isn't it?
Yeah, it has to be.
You don't think there's any way they can leave him out, even though what's gone on in the past and blah, blah, blah.
Runner up the UK Open, runner up of the match play, still lots more darts to be thrown. Best player outside of the top four in regards to the world rankings. How can you not?
Definitely, Ian.
And that is purely based on it being a talent competition. We know the Premier League's not always there in some of the selections, but I don't think there's a world James Wade's not in the Premier League right now.
So if it was being picked right now, it'd look very similar, with the exception that Wade would be in instead of Cross. That's looking at it right now.
Brock would be in instead of Aspinall.
No, Aspinall's not in the eight. So who am I missing?
Aspinall would be in the eight.
From
last year. Aspinall played Premier League.
Yeah. So that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the top eight in the world.
Oh, right. You're just looking at rankings.
I'm looking at the rankings and thinking which of the... Oh, well, Clayton wasn't in this year, was he?
No.
Right, so the top eight now, Clayton and Wade would be in. Aspinall and Cross would be out. That's looking at the top eight in the world. So have you got anybody in mind that you think he's going to make the Premier League?
Still Josh
not
Rock.
In those... You think Rock? Okay. Yeah. Rock's currently 11th.
I'll give you a prediction now. That lad's going to win a major at the back end of this year.
Okay. It is so tight between... I've never seen it so tight. Between 6th and 14th is 60 grand. So something major is going to happen in that bracket there. Something is going to happen. Talking of Nathan Aspinall, he's not even in the top 20 now. How far has he dropped? He's 23rd in the world.
Oh, that's where I get 23 from.
Yeah, he's 23rd in the world. So there we go. It's a bit of an insight into the rankings. And Matt's picking Rock. I think Hetta gets in finally. I think he has a bit. He's not really defending. I think he has a bit of a run. He's good for the internationals. I think Hetta. So we'll see how they pan out.
Here's one for you.
See if I'm wrong.
Rate my throw.
Oh, Monday nights.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
One thing I loved is, and the people on this will probably relate to it, because we opened series one to podcast listeners. that's what it was, wasn't it? Podcast listeners get the first dibs. I think what would be interesting is when we read the comments back, the two people we reviewed commented and they both said we absolutely nailed it in regards to number one, the guy had to battle to get the dartboard on the wall and it was the only place he could put it. So he has to lean around to do it. And I think I said he does a hoovering all the time. And then number two, I told him he needs to move the cans off the side because his missus will be on his case. And he's like, absolutely, that's exactly how it is. So I was like, yes, I nailed it. Come on.
Yeah. Please do watch that. It's Monday night at 7 o'clock. We rate two people every week and we rate their throws. That's on the main Mission YouTube channel. So please do check us out there.
Also, I've also got to get this out there as well. We will also be doing not just rate my throw for you guys, we are also going to be doing it with our professional players when we are filming in October. We're going to be doing it live, in person, breaking down and analysing what works for different people's throws with our pro players, our mission-sponsored players that are out there on the various tours. So loads of interesting content coming over on the main channel.
Can I do Mike Dedecker? That'd be an easy one.
But what about his throw?
And on that note, that's enough. That's enough now. That's enough, Edgar. I've had enough of you this week. Loads more filming to do. Still got some holiday left, guys. But next week, we're back in the thick of it. So thanks for watching, as always. Make sure you're subscribed. We want to get to that 2,000 subscribers this year. We're over 1,600 now. We're on our way. Please make sure you're subscribed. Watch Rate My Throw on a Monday at 7, and we'll catch you next week.